Position number 13101, Rule 3.
Commander
Ironside, Rule 3. Oh, right, 9th of July then. We were scrambled to patrol a convoy in the Thames estuary. And
to where?
In the Thames estuary.
What was the name of the place?
No place. I said we were scrambled to patrol a convoy which was crossing the Thames estuary. It had been through the channel, was on the way up north. And we'd been there for about an hour, I suppose. And I was leading the... We had a flight, six aircraft, and I was leading the flight, and the second section was led by... come to me in a minute. Anyways, I called up North Weald and I said, doesn't seem to be much about. How much longer are we going to stay here? And they said, oh, there's nothing there. And come back. And at that moment, somebody said, Tally-ho! And we saw a great mass of these things coming. They were in... bomber formation underneath, then 110s, and then 109s up above them. I suppose there were about 70, 80 aircraft, something like that. So I called, oh, Victor Beamish, that's one. Yeah. I called to Victor and I said, up for the 109s, we'll see what we can get at the bombers. But we didn't get anywhere near them. We just went flat out into them. The 110s went round in a circle. They always formed a circle where they cover each other's tails. And the idea was to sort of burst through the circle and get at the bombers underneath. Well, my point of view, it didn't work out because I got shot. I don't know where it came from, but it blew the windscreen away and I couldn't see anything. My eyes were full of bits of glass and things. So I pulled out and downwards, and I thought, well, the only thing to do is to bail out because I can't land the thing if I can't see. But I managed to get one eye clear. In the meantime, I'd been tugging away at the hood to try and get it open. It wouldn't open. So there was no hope then of bailing out. So I eventually got back to North Weald. And I got no undercarriage lights. I had very, very little in the way of instruments. So I flew over the control tower to waggle my wings to see if the undercarriage was down, which fortunately it was, and landed.
What kind of a landing did you make?
It was quite a good one, really, under the circumstances. I taxied the thing up to the hangar, and there was Teddy Donaldson waiting with a fireman's axe, and I thought he was going to kill me with the bloody axe, hacking away at the hood to get me out. Well, I looked far worse than I was, because I got tiny little pinpricks of glass all over my face, so I was a mass of blood. But when that was cleared up, all I had was a bad eye.
Were you blinded in one eye?
Temporarily. The station doc pulled a piece of glass out of it. Well, it didn't do it any good.
So you were again the sight in it?
Yeah, of a sort. This eye is still deaf.
Which eye was it?
This one.
The right eye?
Right eye. Mm.
Where, did you have any other wounds?
No. No, I don't know what happened to the bullets. They didn't hit me. Maybe they bounced off the windscreen or something.
How terrifying was it?
It was a bit scary when I thought I couldn't see and couldn't open the lid.
So this was over the Thames estuary?
Yeah.
What time of day might that have been?
I wouldn't like to say now. I don't know what time it was.
So did you go into a hospital?
Yes, I went into the local hospital in Epping for a little time, and then I went down to Torquay. And when I was in Torquay, I got extremely ill. I don't know what it was. I was running a huge temperature, and I don't think anybody knew what it was. After that, I came back to Stuffy Downing.
So, according to your record, it was the 24th of September that you rejoined Bentley Priory.
Yeah, it probably was, yeah. Mm.
Had things much changed when you got there?
The staff had increased immensely. I remember when I first joined Stuffy, I think there were about 50 officers on the air staff, well, on the whole headquarters. And there must have been 500 by the time I came back. Don't know what they all found to do. I wasn't there very long before Stuffy went.
Can you tell me what you remember about his leaving?
Well, it's a sad day, I think. That's about all you can say about it. Because, I mean, he'd been sacked so many times that year that, as you probably know.
No. Well, was there any ceremonial when he left?
Not that I remember now. I think they made him Inspector General or something. Just for the hell of it. But he was the most senior officer in the Air Force.
Did you know much about the background as to why he'd gone?
Well, I knew there were, that they told him to leave in, I don't know when it was, June or something like that. They told him to leave before the battle began, and they kept on changing their mind and giving him a couple of days' notice to say he wasn't going to go.
Had you asked to go back to Fighter Command HQ?
I think I probably did, yes. I can't really remember.
Had you fully recovered from that virus or whatever it was?
Yes, I think so, yeah.
Did people seem confident in Bentley Priory about the progress of the Battle of Britain at that time, when you rejoined them?
Oh, I think so, yes. Yes, I mean, the squadron had taken a hell of a battering. But I think by that time, people knew we were going to win. Because our aircraft production was going up steeply and the Germans was dropping. All we were short of were pilots, I think. We were short of them all the time because I think by the time Dunkirk was finished, we lost, what was it, 200 or 300 pilots. Actually, on the 9th of July, one of the pilots with me was a midshipman.
So you were saying he was a Fleet Air Arm pilot?
Yeah.
But you felt that Bentley Priory was overstaffed by September 1940?
Well, I'm in no position to judge. Maybe they were preparing for the invasion or something, I don't know. There was another fellow that used to come and see us, well, very regularly, almost every day, and that was Freddie Pyle, who was the GOC of Anti-Aircraft Command. And his headquarters was just across the way from Bentley Priory. He was a charming chap, he really was. Got on very well with Staffy too.
So once Dowding left, who was your new boss?
Oh, I left too. I went straight away.
At your own request?
Yes.
Because of Dowding leaving?
Yeah. I didn't, who was it? Lee Mary that took over. Was it Lee Mary? No. What's his name? Well, the fellow took over and I didn't like him anyway. So I went.
Had you met him?
Very briefly, that was all. I think he brought his own chap with him anyway.
I think then that you went into fighter control work?
That's right. And I went on the course first of all, as I may be. And I went to Turnhill in Shropshire, Valley in Anglesey.
What kind of fighter control jobs were you doing?
They were up there, they were mostly night fighter patrols, because they were trying to bomb Liverpool and places like that.
But what would you actually do in controlling the fighters?
You'd tell them where the enemy were, try and put them in position, and hope they could see them, which they rarely did, because the radar was pretty primitive in those days.
Who was handing you the information?
Well, all coming initially from Headquarters Fighter Command. Except at Valley, where we had a little radar station. And there... there you'd go down. Well, it had a sector station where the radar reported to, but if you were doing the interceptions, you would go down to it was on the beach really, to this little radar cabin, a mobile radar cabin, and control them from there. But the big picture was in the sector station, where you had the table all laid out and everything, and all the arrows and such like.
What kind of personnel were working under you?
Well, mostly ex-air crew or possibly non-air crew who'd been trained straight away, sort of national service people.
Were they men or women?
About half and half, I think.
So they were plotters?
Mm-hmm. Yes, plotters, and then down at the radar station were radar operators. About half men, half women, I should think.
How did you like doing that kind of work?
Not a lot.
Why not?
Well, I don't know. It wasn't very interesting. Well, I suppose it was, but I'd rather have been flying. Well, after a bit, I got posted to Headquarters 10 Group, which was at Box in would it be Somerset, I think, near Bath, anyway. Yeah, I was 10 Group at Box in the that was the sector headquarters as well. And that was more interesting because you've got the whole picture of the whole area of what from sort of Portsmouth westward. And there you didn't have any close control, you just farmed it out to the radar stations to control.
Were the Germans making many attacks at that time in 42?
Yes, they were, yeah. All along the south coast. One didn't have couldn't use one's initiative an awful lot because there's usually some group captain who was controlling things.